We have to pray and cry out, God, create in us, cleanse us. We admit and we join together, Lord, take our sin, cleanse us, take our pride, take our sexual sin, take our perversion, take our greed, take our lust, take our bitterness, take our anger, take our unforgiveness, take our selfishness, take our vanity, our idolatry, our jealousy, our hate, our materialism, our envy. Oh God, we need a clean heart. And you're the only one, oh God, who can do it.
Listeners, welcome back to Live in the Light. Today we are starting the last message in our mini series from the Psalms, and this is a big one. Lean in if you can, get your Bible and write this down. God wants my heart. Pastor Robbie, this message is all about renewal, and a lot of David's story is about that. Repentance, confession, revival, changing his heart back to the Lord, and that's what the world needs more of today.
It does. Renewal is so close to my heart. I think it's kind of the fabric of my being when God even saved me, and just the potential that he has for us in him. And David, of course, Psalm 51, one of those famous psalms in scripture, absolutely devastated with the sin with Bathsheba and then the murder of Uriah. And he comes with brokenness and contrition, and he is desperately seeking the Lord for what only the Lord can bring. Hey, Live in the Light listeners, where do you find yourself today? Where will God's word meet you today? Do you find yourself in a position of trial, of anguish? Do you find yourself in a position of going through difficult, hard times? Maybe even the Lord is moving you to a place of brokenness and confession. And I'm telling you, as hard as that is, it's the best possible place you could be. As devastating as this was for David, it would become one of the greatest turning points of his life. That's what spiritual renewal does. Again, a passage very, very dear to my heart and even this ministry. And so we're hoping that God would speak to you powerfully. In fact, I pray in Jesus' name for where you are right now, driving, listening again at home, wherever you may be at work, in Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit specifically speak to you today in such a powerful way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so let's get into today's message, a prayer for renewal from Psalm 51, 7 to 13.
Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 51. I'm not going to waste a lot of time today as we get into our text. There's an urgency to today's service. There's a supernatural opportunity to today's service. There's a seriousness to today's service. And here's the bottom line. I'm not sure what you came to church today. I'm not sure what you were expecting. But here's the bottom line, ready? God wants your heart. God wants your heart. He's brought Psalm 51 to your attention today because he's going after your heart. I love reminding myself and you of how personal our God is, that he's come for you today. I mean, Psalm 51, the context you should know is David in his sin with Bathsheba, his adultery. He arranged the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, and he was confronted by Nathan and called on his sin, and he is busted. He is broken, and his brokenness leads to a massive desperation for God. He's a man after God's own heart. He had strayed, and now God is calling him back, and God wants his heart and is getting David's heart in full to restore him back to himself by grace and mercy. It's one of the most powerful psalms there is. It's a passage we got to return to again and again. It's so important. It's so serious. It's so life-giving. It's so pertinent to our lives every day, and I think especially right now. Our passage today becomes a powerful prayer for renewal. It's a powerful prayer for renewal that is only found in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. We will not find renewal anywhere else. In verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 51, there's a foundation that is laid of confession and repentance the Spirit in David leading him to return to God. Why is confession and repentance so important? Here's why. Listen carefully, okay? This is so, so key. Before any great work of God, there is always a movement of confession and repentance of individuals corporately coming together. You will not see the fruit of God without a heart that seriously wants to confess and repent before God. You have to take out the trash before you can fill your temple with the things of righteousness from God. You have to clear the table, clear the desk of all the crud and all the distractions and the filth before you can set the table for a meal that is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This must be done. This is what's happening in verses 1-6. David crying out for God to cleanse him and forgive him and to see him again in a place of true brokenness and forgiveness. I want you to see within our text today too, repentance is so powerful because repentance ushers in a brokenness. When's the last time you've been sincerely broken over sin? Please, oh God, Holy Spirit, gift us with repentance that leads us to brokenness. Why? Because brokenness over sin is irresistible to the heart of God. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God opposes the proud. He cannot resist the broken and humble. This is the opportunity. This is David, busted, broken, melting, humiliated, humbled, hungry, surrendered, deeply desirous for the work of God to return to his life. God, change my heart, he says. Change my heart. God, change hearts today. By your Spirit, God, lead so many to come to you that hearts may be changed and sin laid on the altar again, that Christ may take it and forgive you once again and restore his power and strength and spirit to your life. I'm telling you, today is such an important day and the Holy Spirit wants to see so much happen in our lives. But Holy Spirit, nothing happens apart from you. Nothing happens apart from you. I woke up this morning and just like focused in prayer, praying a lot this week, man, and just saying, Father, just said, Father, you and I both know nothing happens today apart from you. Nothing. Father, you and I both know nothing happens today unless you decide it's going to. But we beg you that it would. We beg you that you would choose to save and you would choose to sanctify and you would choose to set people free and you would choose to cleanse. You have to know this too, our subject matter today, there's no more important subject matter you will face, maybe ever. For sure, it is so much more important than your career. It is 100 times more important than your career. It is more important than paying your bills. It is infinitely more important than your earthly wealth and money today. It's infinitely more important than that. It is so more important than your education. It is so more important than your personal security. It is so more important than your physical health. It's so, so way more. What good is physical health if your spiritual health is all messed up and ruined? Listen, it is more important than your family. It is. Because if you get today wrong, everything starts to fall apart. If you get today right, it doesn't make life easier. It means life comes together under the will of God. You give God a heart broken and able to be molded by him, and you will see a heart that is blessed, a heart that is filled with joy, and a heart that bears fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why God wants your heart and mine. When he has our hearts, he has everything. And this is the very heart of Psalm 51. Again, I want us to look at our passage and then when we begin to unpack it today, lead us and help us, Holy Spirit. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. What a verse that is. Look at that verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness with the bones that you have broken. Some broken bones here today, souls that are crushed in sin and trial. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, yes, Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. What a passage. And uphold me with a willing spirit. This is a prayer for renewal. It is astoundingly beautiful and is packed with potential. The first part of this prayer, notice, is this. Please, O Lord, wash me clean. Number one, please, O Lord, wash me clean. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This, who alone can take a heart of stone and cause it to become a heart of flesh? Who alone can change the leper's spots and melt a heart of stone? Who alone can take a wretched heart of sin and cause it to become a heart of righteousness? Who can do that? You can't. I can't. There's only one who can. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one who can create a clean heart. Therefore, do not miss David's words. They are too important and so beautiful. He says, God, create in me a clean heart, O God. So notice here again, a clean heart is only made possible by God. A heart is not cleansed by man's striving. A heart is not cleansed by religious behavior. There are so many people in our world still, and maybe here today, you think you can cleanse your life by your external religious behavior. Impossible. No one's heart is cleansed by human psychology. It doesn't work. It never has. It never will. The only way a heart is truly cleansed is by the Holy Spirit of God doing the work through Jesus Christ by the will of God the Father. And what does God create from? David says, create in me a clean heart. God creates out of nothing. Meaning God doesn't take some of us and use it. No, he takes all of him and puts it in us. I mean, think of the imagery of scripture all over the place. What are we by ourselves? We have filthy rags, the scripture says. We are stained in sin. Christ comes. We believe in him by grace through faith. He removes our filthy rags and gives us 100% by his grace and mercy and love, robes of righteousness and perfection. Not us, him. Only God can create a clean heart. And notice in verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. What does that tell us? Every person who genuinely loves Christ, listen, it's a person truly seeking his purity and his holiness. If you genuinely love Jesus Christ, then you want to be clean. You want to pursue purity. You can't stand to stay in the muck and the mire and the sin that wrecks your heart and ruins your life. You can't stay there. You have moments, I have moments, but you can't stay there because of Christ in you. And there's the longing to be cleansed. David messed up. David sinned in a serious fashion. David was confronted and his heart is quickened and immediately, God, cleanse my heart. It doesn't mean we don't mess up. It means when we do, where do we turn? And this is where David is such a model for us in his heart, after God's heart, to see his heart cleansed. Only God can create a clean heart. But our job, listen, our job is to long for it. Our job is to beg God for it. Our job is to ask him, oh God, create in me a clean heart. And this is why we so desperately need a visitation of the Holy Spirit. We so desperately need the Spirit of God to fill our lives, to come into this place as temples of the Holy Spirit, to bring renewal, to bring cleansing, to revive the church. It's only by the Spirit of God. We are so desperate for him to do the work that only he can do. Today, Holy Spirit, would you be moving and transforming and changing and renewing? Look at verse 7 now. David says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." The hyssop bush was used in the Old Testament for ceremonial cleansing of lepers. The priest would take the hyssop and sprinkle the leper 7 times, declaring him to be clean. And David says here, "Oh God, you must purge me of my sin. You must wash me." Why? Because, Lord, when you wash me, the text says, I will be whiter than snow. It's kind of a difficult time of year for us to imagine snow. We kind of shudder at snow. We don't want to think about snow. I'm with you. I'm with you. But when you think about when snow does fall, and at least we can see it in our land, and the fresh blanket of snow, what is more pure and more white and more beautiful and a symbol of purity than fresh fallen snow? This is what David says. David says, "When you clean my heart, Lord, you will wash me, make me whiter than snow." What a prayer. Wash me clean. Who's that for today? It's for all of us today. I was thinking about that phrase in the scripture, whiter than snow. I thought of the beautiful little chorus hymn and just one of the parts of it, just, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, 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 the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow." Let's sing it again. "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow." Oh God, creating me a clean heart. Oh God, wash me and purge me. I mean, you think about the reality of the gospel in our lives, and this is why I hate sin so much. This is why I hate sin. This is why I hate my sin. I hate my sin. I hate my sin. It defiles me. It defiles us. It brings misery upon me. It brings misery upon us. It places filth on me. It places filth all over us. Sin ruins my life. It ruins your life. Sin stains me. It stains us. Sin always messes everything up. It just ruins everything. The sin that's just wreaked havoc in marriages, the sin that's destroyed homes, the sin that has ruined relationships, the sin that has literally caused people to die. We continue to go down a path of habitual and unrepentant sin. It's devastating. I hate sin. I hate my sin. I can't wait to be freed once and for all from this battle of sin. And here is David. David saying, "God, wash me from the sin that is ruining my life." And see, for us as a church right now, and here's what I know, you don't get to hear messages like this a lot in the church these days. This is sadly uncommon. This is so desperately needed. It is so needed to put ourselves bowing before the altar and asking the Lord to do only he can do, to confess, to repent, to admit. There is so much apathy. There's so much worldliness. There's so much stubbornness. There's so much pride. There's so much bitterness. There's so much lust. There's so much impurity. There's so much idolatry here in this room right now. And all of it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. But he wants to love us back to him. And he wants to cleanse our hearts again back to him. And he wants to renew us in him. And then he will do extraordinary things. It's what he's always done. It's what he'll continue to do. We have to pray and cry out, "God, create in us, cleanse us, our hearts, Lord, before you." Even today, maybe corporately right now, we admit and we join together, "Lord, take our sin, cleanse us, take our pride, take our sexual sin, take our perversion, take our greed, take our lust, take our bitterness, take our anger, take our unforgiveness, take our selfishness, take our vanity, our idolatry, our jealousy, our hate, our materialism, our envy, take our profanity, take our drunkenness, take our drug addictions, take our hypocrisy, take our laziness, take our self-righteousness. Oh God, we need a clean heart. And you're the only one, oh God, who can do it. I love so much in scripture here. You see this text, David's authenticity, his authenticity and genuineness. Look, it's right before us. This passage is incredible. Here's the Bible showing us a real life, a real example. He failed. He sinned. He messed up. He committed adultery. He murdered. But he's returning back to God. He's desperate to get closer to God. The Spirit of God leading him. He knows he's failed, but he knows God is a God of grace and mercy and love. And he wants his heart back to where it belongs. Notice David is not in the psalm saying, save me. David in the psalm is saying, cleanse me. I trust you know, let me be perfectly clear though, to remind ourselves. The moment of genuine conversion in Jesus Christ, the penalty of sin is forever removed. We are declared innocent by God as judge. That sentence will never, ever be overturned. We are justified in his sight. However, the moment we are justified for our sin in Jesus Christ because of Christ is the moment the battle of sin begins and rages all the way until we get to heaven or Christ returns. Just because we're declared innocent of sin doesn't mean we're free from the battle of sin. In fact, we double, triple down on the battle of sin as moments we're alive in Jesus Christ because of the flesh and Satan that desires to see us sin and ruin our lives and to ruin the name of Jesus Christ. So the battle for sin is on. And as a genuine believer, if our sin remains unchecked and unrepented of, then what happens is, spiritually speaking, we clog the spiritual drain of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through our lives. That's what sin does. If you've been around here for any time at all listening to my preaching, you know how much I love metaphors of cleansing things as a metaphor for sin. A couple of weeks ago, I had the absolute privilege of using a power washer. And I was like in the process of cleaning a deck. And I was astounded. And when I looked at it, it doesn't look so bad. And I start using the power pressure washer. And all of a sudden, it's like the grime, the dirt, the filth, the disgusting, and like the difference between what was left untreated and now what was pressure washed. I looked, I'm like, that is incredible, the difference. It looked like new. Family meeting, get out here. Another metaphor for what sin does to our lives. Come look. It is awesome. I had an extraordinary amount of pleasure doing that chore. I honestly love illustrations and metaphors in life like that, because it quickens my heart to say, if I live an unrepented life, if I have sin unchecked, then the grime, the filth, the dirt that covers my heart and starts to steal my joy and ruin my affections for Jesus Christ, man, Lord, I gotta repent to see that washed clean. It's the same reason so much I'm so passionate about when a drain gets clogged in the house. We have 6 people in our home. And certain drains, they get clogged. And that's kind of gross, isn't it? And you know, when you go and reach down that drain, and I've said this before too, and just it's the black, disgusting filth, which is our DNA, which is a perfect example, illustration of the sin that is within, and it clogs it up and it becomes stagnant and there's no flow. And you have to get some system of cleansing that drain, liquid drain, oh, praise the Lord. It might be a snake, whatever it is. You go down there and you clear it out. And all of a sudden the water is allowed to flow once again, but you have to clean out the crud in order to let the flow of the water go through that it may reach its destination. Jesus was onto this when Jesus said in John chapter 7, if anyone thirsts, and that's the thing, who's thirsty today? Who's thirsty for more today? Who's not satisfied with where you are? Who's not spiritually content in terms of you haven't arrived and you need more of Jesus Christ and there's more he wants to do in your life? That you're not okay with just playing games in the world. You're not okay with going through the motions. You're not okay with sipping all these kind of drinks that the world is providing and all this different stuff that we're involved with. You're not okay. You're thirsty for Christ. And you know there's more for you, as I know there's more for me. This is why this is such a battle. If you genuinely thirst, you come to Christ. Only Christ can give you the drink of living water. Only Christ. You don't come to the world. You don't come to your hobby. You don't come to, again, some entertainment. You don't come to you come to Christ. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers. Cleansed from sin and the flow of rivers of living water. Look what he says here. And he said this about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the flow, rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. David's unclogging his drain. His heart is being pressure washed and he will not be the same. He messed up. He's returning to the things of the Lord. This is what David knows. Lord, you have to wash me clean. Secondly, please, O Lord, let me hear joy. I love verse 8. Let me hear joy. Who's this for today? Look at verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness of the bones that you have broken. Rejoice. Let me hear joy and gladness, the bones that you have broken. So David now is anticipating the blessing of a clean heart. And he knows this, a clean heart is a joyful heart. A clean heart is packed with joy. Notice first the phrase of the bones that you have broken. This is the effect of sin. Notice the bones, like deep, deep into our soul. Sin makes us feel crushed. Sin puts such a weight on us if it's not dealt with. So interesting, Psalm 32, many scholars suggest this is the context of David's sin with Bathsheba as well. For sure, it's the context of sin. Notice what David says here, so powerful. When I kept silent, meaning when I did not repent, when I did not deal with my sin, when I ran away from God, when I stubbornly refused to acknowledge my position before God in terms of dealing with my sin, when I did not repent, listen to the effect, my bones wasted away. I groaned all day long. Isn't that so true? Sin does, eh? Sin, when it sits upon us and we don't deal with it, we don't confess it, we're always trying to, and by the way, this whole message right now, this is so important. Don't think about someone else's sin. This is you and God right now. It's you before God. It's me before God. This isn't about someone else that you wish was here or someone else sitting near to you. That's not what it's about. It's you and God right now. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. So right now in this room right now, people listening, the hand of God is heavy. And you're not comfortable. And your conscience is stricken. And your strength has faded. What is that? That's God's heavy hand of love, of discipline, to get you to come back to Him where life and satisfaction and true joy is found. But there's more. Look at David. Like, this is brilliant imagery. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Now, that is fitting for this time of year. I mean, August has been a very hot month, has it not? It's been a very hot month. I mean, the humidex and always been often, you know, so many days this month, well above 30. I think that's returning tomorrow as well, I understand. I think even today we walk out of the service, we might feel some of that. I don't know about you, man, but in the high humidity and the heat of summer, it doesn't take long for me just to feel exhausted. Like you go do certain things and just, it saps your strength and energy. I mean, I was down, I said, visiting my brother-in-law's family in early July in Alabama. And I mean, you want to talk about a hot summer. I mean, I was down there, but by the third day, I felt physically sick. Like just, I'm just not used to it. Just the heat was relentless. And physically, I just, it was so oppressive. That's what sin does to us.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine.